It was just the virtue of the rolls.
Rolled a 21 to hit that in the face, point blank.
All of a sudden, through the roof of the tent, bam, hits right into the Bunsen burner that you were working on.
No! Describe to me how you want this to go down.
I grab you by your back, put you down on the ground.
Be sure that you have your big boy pants on, because it's not going to be pretty what you see down there.
Things could go differently based on the dice.
Let's find out.
All right, here we go. You dice can fail me now.
Theater, an RPG actual play podcast.
Welcome back to Bone Throwers Theater. My name is Stephanie. I am playing Miranda Kristoff. I'm possibly praying too.
Praying that you survive.
Yes.
And I'm Jeremy, playing Captain Orion Headshot James.
And I'm Jordan. I'm going to be GMing the escapade of the evening.
I'm Jeff. I'm playing a tree that is about to freak out. Oh, Sergeant Willis Masters.
I'm Carlin. I'm playing Dran, battle-hardened Renner. Because I've been through plenty now.
So you guys have had quite an experience.
And I'm Johnny. Playing Professor Edric Farthings.
How could you forget about the science?
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 It makes itself so well-known during the actual game that sometimes you just don't think that it needs announcing.
That's right. You think it's just assumed that everyone knows science is present.
That's right. Our very own Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Without science, you have nothing.
All right. So things have shaken up quite a bit since the beginning of Season 2.
A lot of dead.
Yeah, a lot of dead. In fact, it's easier to go through the list of who's still alive than it is outside of the main group. We have Sergeant Winifred Smith, Karen Greggs, Wendy Ford, and Abigail Winters.
And Captain Quebec.
Yeah. So aside, it's like interesting that like all the ladies survived.
Yeah.
We will survive.
Good for you.
Why do I feel like they should be playing? We should play some like Destiny's Child or something.
That'd be a lot.
Not that I want to hear it. I'm just saying. To go with the whole women empowerment ordeal. I'll shut up.
Good idea, Carlin.
So anyway, you guys had all gotten together, and previously you had decided that it was a good idea to go through and return to the base that Orion James had been taken to, and also Willis Masters when they had been taken to the Clan of the Nine Claws, where they had that clearing in the woods where they had some long houses set up, and there was the ambassador of the canopy, and all sorts of fun stuff like that. So really quickly, we thought we would go around the table, and we would share kind of like a montage of what's going on, like important things that your characters notice or that you guys have happened to you during the rest of the trip from...
I don't break a leg.
That's good.
So... Captain Orion James, do you want to go ahead and start us off?
Well, on the trek, Orion James would be sort of restructuring how we're going to do security patrol of the camp whenever we get there. It's obviously going to be teams of two, since there's only five of us left, and one of them is a pilot. It'll be Captain James and Staff Sergeant Winters as one team, and Sergeant Masters and Sergeant Smith as another team.
So you said James and Winters?
Yes.
As one team?
Mm-hmm.
And you said Masters and Smith?
Yes.
As the second team? Mm-hmm. You just realized that you kind of ticked off all the shippers there by putting Abigail and Willis on opposite teams. But anyway.
aside from that, Orion's not going to do a whole lot of anything.
Just one foot in front of the other?
Make sure that everybody's got idea of what's going to happen from here on out. And not talking to Burntail, not talking to anybody. Just kind of up at the front, leading the way.
One thing I think we should mention is that there was, like, in addition to all of your people who were attacked and decimated, I'm assuming that a lot of the Clan of the Nine Claws that were with you were also decimated. So
I think you said that last session was like half of them were taken out.
So. And there was only 10 of them to begin with. So there wasn't a huge amount of them. So So, yeah, your numbers are significantly reduced in pretty much every way possible. Mm-hmm. Miranda, or Willis.
Okay, so Willis would basically follow orders, because that's what he's good at. But I think internally he'd be slowly breaking down, because he's a tree now. He'll never be the same. Like, as a player, I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever. I want to do all these things with my character, but then I'm trying to think, if I were in this situation, if I were a character in this situation, I'd be like, okay, now that I've had time to let it sink in, I'm going to freak out really hard.
So are you, like, spending a lot of, like, the evenings off by yourself, or?
Probably. Whatever downtime I have.
Do you guys notice anything that's going on? Like, do you see anything off in the woods that's interesting? Like, any animals or...
I mean, I don't know.
He doesn't notice anything.
Okay.
I glare at the trees as often as possible, because they did this to me.
A little mad?
A little bit.
How about you, Dren?
So during the time that we've been marching, since Captain James has not been speaking with Burntail, Dran has been speaking with Burntail, creating a closer relationship, as well as pushing the issue of when are the, I guess the pain trials going to begin for Lumps, Wendy, that is, just kind of trying to plant the seed again in Burntail's mind that they need to, when they can, get on that.
Get on the pain?
Yeah. Bring on the pain train. Woo-woo! So that's what Dran's been up to.
Burntail is a little fascinated by your fascination with pain. And, and so she goes ahead and lets you know that as soon as you're in a more permanent, i.e. within some place you're going to stay for the next 3 to 5 days, then they can actually discuss the pain, the trials of pain.
Okay.
Well, as we're wandering through the woods, Edric is being distracted quite a bit by all the different plant life that he sees. He does manage to capture a small salamander.
That could end well.
There's a regular salamander?
Well, that's what it looks like.
Oh. What he meant to say is a small salamander person that's like 4 feet tall.
Hey, let me go!
No, you have about 3 inches long.
What it actually is a mutated amoeba.
Oh, it could be.
Gigantic.
Yeah, and he's constantly being harassed by who's left in the military to keep moving as he stops to collect samples.
Oh my gosh, that is probably really annoying.
Can we say, like, one of the 9 claws has just been assigned to him?
Yeah, if that's okay with Edric.
At some point, they would probably just pick him up and carry him, I would think.
And if that were the case, he'd sit there collecting hair samples.
It's like walking a dog. They want to stop and sniff everything, so you have to drag them along.
Do you do anything to mark your territory?
No.
He leaves little flags.
For science. For science.
I'm also taking photographs of everything. Cool. Documentation.
Not hollow images?
My notes now reflect that Farthings has a pet salamander.
Pet.
What's his name?
Test experiment.
Test experiment number 4350.
Yeah, as soon as I think any of the military knows that, there's going to be a missing salamander.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's in a container.
It's in a cage.
And a missing container.
Mm-hmm. Miranda, how's the rest of the trip going for you?
Bumpy. I'm in pain a lot. I'm well-drugged, hopefully. And I'm going to say, if I may, that Aurora, Wendy, and Miranda tend to fall in line and are having plenty of girl chat between them and getting to know each other.
This is bad news for everyone.
I rolled for drugs. I got, there's 12. There's another 12. I got 24 for drugs.
Good, good. That's what I like to
do. You
hear.
Are well sedated.
You know, yes. You know it's bad when both myself and Carlin look at each other after that statement, and both of us start shaking our heads. None of us like that scenario.
Well, and you know, Miranda drugged is a lot more friendly than.
That's true.
Than
so Miranda
otherwise.
And
so she's opening up a little bit to both ladies. You know, talking about her divorce. Aurora mentions hers. You know, maybe gives a few details. So, yeah, we're getting to know each other. Wendy mentions having a cousin.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, Wendy has some other things that she probably wants to mention about.
Lies, don't listen.
How her life has been ruined, but, you know, we'll just go ahead and leave it at
in
that.
In any case, right? Yes. So, yeah, we're building relationships.
Building relationships, that's great.
Connections. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Oh, I'm not afraid of anything.
I'm sticking with the theme of women empowerment.
The world is my French flu oyster, so... at this point, we're going to go ahead and say that we've arrived at where Burned Tail says the camp that the Nine Claws had set up was previously. Do you have something that you want to add?
As we approach that spot, I mean, since assuming Orion and Masters would be sort of able to tell when they were getting sort of close, since they both made that journey.
Yes.
I'm going to do just sort of a notice check.
Okay.
What I notice as we're getting close.
Would you want me to do that too?
Yeah, yes. you can do that as well.
I don't notice.
With the 8.
You're pretty wrapped up in yourself.
Well, I didn't notice a thing.
Now I'm tempted to roll just to see what I notice while on drugs.
Oh my god.
I'm going to say it's a 1D penalty. No, 2D penalty to be on drugs.
Well, we would have been.
Was it
at least a day's journey. With all the equipment.
Yeah.
So, do a healing check?
Yeah. We'll do a healing check for her after she did.
She drugs herself.
14.
You start smelling charred material in the air.
Okay. I kind of wonder, what's burning?
What Ryan is burning? Sort of looks back at Burntail.
Oh.
She, like, shrugs.
Not Burntail this time.
I go over to a tree and...
Ask him what's up.
Yeah, ask him what's up.
All right, from the front, it's going to be just hold. Just everybody stay put.
Okay. Go ahead.
Should I roll my French flu?
Yeah, I would go ahead and roll that.
12.
So you start seeing these images in your mind of pain and violence and fleeing. You can feel from all directions... organisms like human-sized Nine Claw clan members rushing through the foliage and spreading out from this epicenter, this traumatic scar of pain, and you can feel that the canopy has been deeply transgressed against.
Where we're headed, I don't think it's a good idea to go.
What are you talking about?
I mean, something bad happened to the area where they kept the captain and I.
Is that where the base was?
Yeah. Everyone's fleeing that area.
Orion's just going to walk over to Burntail, nudge toward the direction, and start walking.
Okay.
Expecting her to follow.
She does. So it's just the two of you? Does anybody else want to go?
It's Orion and who?
Burntail.
I'll go with, yeah.
Okay.
As leader of this operation.
Would Aurora go?
Leadership.
Aurora could go, but I'm sensing that the vibes that Orion is sending off would mean that she's not really wanting to go. You know what I mean?
Stop sending vibes, Orion. Jeez.
So, you guys keep on going, and as you come up to it, you can see this swath of burned trees as you draw closer. And as you step out into where the clearing had been, the longhouses, the platform in the center of the village, and even the tree, the two trees that had been the cocoon for Willis and the tree that held the Nine Claws ambassador to the canopy are both charred. And in fact, you can see lying on the ground in front of one of the trees a burned jaw.
So
now our eyes is gone.
Is Burntail having any reaction?
She's not happy about this. She's like, she hasn't touched you yet, so you can't tell what she's thinking. But she immediately like takes off into the camp.
I follow.
Her tail's all puffy. Her hackles are up.
She runs into the center of the building, and then she cuts hard into one of the longhouses. And she runs through there, and you can see some small bodies of, like, children that have been corpseified. I'm thinking Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru level of crisped, burned flesh.
So while Orion and Burntail are taking off toward that area, I'm going to go walk back and go to Willis and say, you know, do you know what happened here? Can you get this information?
I can try and ask again, but I don't know what really happened. I just know that there was fire and everyone scattering. That's all I know.
Dran says to Willis, he points to his eyes and goes, "Look at me here. Sometimes you don't have to ask. You demand."
Go ahead and roll a command roll for that to try and instill in him like a sense of
he's gonna
urgency and everything. And go ahead and roll Will. Willis.
15.
7. Wait, 8.
Describe how you feel empowered by what Dran has just said to you.
I feel like, you know what? He's right. I don't demand enough things. I don't demand enough respect. This tree's ruined me forever. I should demand something in return.
Dran Renner, inspiring courage since 2 minutes ago.
All right.
Do it. So, tell them what to tell you. They got to have the info. And
5.
You see in your mind this image of something hanging from a tree covered in spines. It's like a silhouette against the fire. You also see right in your face the open mouth of what looks like a bear just roaring into your face.
Something with a big maw and spines.
We heard about the porky people, right?
Okay. I didn't. You did.
Oh, you? Okay. This might be the porky people they're speaking of. So that's what did the destruction, correct?
Yeah.
Is that what it seems like? Well, okay. I guess I won't question that. I was going to say, how could they burn everything? But then again, the jaguar people use fire. So it could be about the same thing. Okay. Good job. Like I said, sometimes you just gotta demand things. And actually, the next time that he puts his hands up, air quotes, canopy, doesn't want to give you what you want, he pulls out his knife, his hunting knife, and is like, "You might want to use this to," and he like motions like stabbing a tree. "You might want to give it a little incentive. Works sometimes." And then he puts his knife back in the holster and walks off to check on everyone else in the party. Just kind of tell them to stay where they are at the moment.
Don't corrupt my masters.
Yeah. Master's just going to, like, nod his head a little bit and ponder on it.
"What is thy bidding, my masters?"
Oh, no.
"Don't you want to feel complete?"
Dran Renner's the emperor. Will's Masters is now Darth Vader.
Darth Tree Vader.
He's still in the Anakin stage. Mm.
He hasn't yet fully bloomed as Darth Vader.
would that make Orion Obi-Wan?
Yeah, it would.
Yep. All right, speaking anyway, of Orion.
Yeah, what is Birdtail doing? I know she ran in there. I was following right behind her.
She's like shrieking in mourning. And she's like clutching this child to her. As she's gone to scoop it up, the forearms like fall off because the bones have been so charred through, and basically she's holding it so close that the ash from the body is just completely caking her. She's like trying to like breathe life into it, and you can see that the ash is just like smudging all over her face, and she's letting out these horrible yowls of pain and anguish.
Ryan's gonna go up and just gently place his hand on like the back of her shoulder, neck area, and see if she reacts at all.
Now you can understand that she's going, "My baby! My baby!" over and over and over again. We're gonna pause there, and when we come back, we'll continue on with this episode of Bone Throwers Theater.
When Elizabeth Carter was orphaned, she felt like she lost everything. No friends to speak of, no family, nothing in this world to keep her. So she decided to look for her fate off-world. Taking her future in her hands, Libby chose a vocation that would leave the world behind, removing her from every person on Earth. she joined SNV LLC as a miner in the asteroid belt. She was promised workable land to Homestead just for showing up. Now with her fate decided, light years away from Earth, Libby finds out that she was shanghaied. Left on a tiny rock at the edge of space, she finds herself bound into indentured servitude. As Libby tries to dig herself out, she realizes greatness in the people around her, and finds high adventure in the inky blackness of space. Cave-in rescues, planetary collisions, and other dangerous mishaps keep Libby and her new family fighting to stay alive. Written by Brand Gamblin, creator of the Parsec-nominated show Calls for Cthulhu, and read by S.B. Alley, creator of the C4C podcast, this is a story of determination, hard work, pain, and redemption. This is the story of Tumblr. www.tumblrnovel.net.
All right, well, thank you very much for joining us on this rather somber edition of Bone Throwers Theater. Miranda, you were the first one who actually smelled something.
Which is ironic.
Which is very ironic. So, how are you reacting right now?
Not. She's kind of just sitting on a stump and resting.
Okay. Edric, how about you? Have you gone into the village at all to see what's going on?
Yes. We've gone into the village and seen
his nine claw escort allow him to go into the village?
I wouldn't think so.
Probably they probably, well,
they might have followed him to the border and then just stood there in shock.
Yeah, most of the nine claws who have come out have not had the same reaction as Aurora, Burntail.
Ha! Gotcha. They're the same person.
Only in your mind. Oh!
Thank you.
No. They've actually collapsed to the ground, and they've been wearing like cloths that go over
caveman tunics.
Yeah, essentially, and like loincloths and tunics and things like that. And a lot of them have just ripped this clothing, and they're screaming. Several of them have actually just scattered into the woods.
Because cats go off by themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is productive.
Well I would go into the burned area and I would take a sample of the ash from a tree, not from one of the skeletons.
Okay.
I think since Orion and Burntail had headed off prior to that, as I guess you were coming in, you'd hear Captain James get on comms. Everybody, bring all the gear to the center of what's left of this camp. Start to get situated. We're going to try and bunker down here for the night and then assess what we need to do next. If it's rebuild things here or head off to somewhere else. Make sure that this gets done quickly.
So now it's only like maybe Burned Tail and one or two others of the Nine Claws who are still with you. And then the rest have scattered, and it's just the remaining maybe 10 overall people in the group.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to work pretty quick, hard to get everything moved to the center and set up. So we're going to go ahead and say that takes the rest of the day.
Yeah, that's sort of Orion's thinking that this is going to take a while to do. So setting up camp. And then as soon as all the gear and stuff is there, Orion just goes off by himself.
I think Dran would want to talk to O'Brien real quick.
Okay.
How long are we planning on being at this location?
At least a night. And he continues to keep walking.
I mean, is this... He's walking? He's still walking past him?
Yeah.
Okay, so Dran's just kind of yelling after him. Is that smart if this place has been attacked? So I guess maybe he's not even responding.
Shaking his head and keeps going.
Okay. So Dran's going to go to Aurora. Say,
Is Aurora still by Miranda?
Well, no, they've moved Miranda into the middle of the area. Like, they've got, they're working on setting up the tents. Obviously, Miranda's not going to be as much of a help, mm-hmm. So they've like, got her in a comfortable place in the middle of the ground area, and Aurora's been, like, helping put her in a comfortable place and making sure she's got some water and you know, the things that Miranda actually needs to stay alive.
Drugs?
Yes.
Okay, so... Dran's talking to Aurora.
Okay.
It's like, tried to talk a little bit with Orion, but he's, for lack of a better word, very aloof right now. You have some pull here. I know with the clan of Nine Claws, can you speak with Burntail and the other, I'm just going to say there are two others, and the other two to kind of instill some sort of morale in them to remain with our group as the rest of these Jaguar folks ran off?
They should return once they're done grieving.
Can you also find out if they think it's a good idea to be here for the night? Because they would have a good idea of, you know, the significance of this location prior, and with no defenses, basically everything burned down, if it's safe to be here at all.
Yeah. Don't worry your pretty head about this. We'll get it taken care of.
You did say Dran was a beautiful man.
Is he? Is he a good-looking guy?
You said it.
Okay, well then, I'm not going to go back on that. Okay.
Yeah.
Beautiful, huh?
Beauty in the eyes of the beholder.
Not sure what you're playing at, but...
There's beauty in everything. We'll just leave it at that, okay?
Okay, well, you went from actually, like, giving me some sort of compliment to kind of just, like, not. So whatever.
Look, I'm trying to deal with the Nine Claws. I'm trying to deal with your medic here, who is, if you haven't noticed, drooling on the happy pills.
Okay.
So...
I saw that
Miranda over here isn't coming.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Saw that coming a mile away. She's a wreck.
I don't think you can be on this planet without actually being... in our own way and form, a bit of a wreck. So, those who live in glass houses,
I would point out
never
that
I take showers.
That I've. That's true. Unless you're in the middle of the woods.
Tell me, Edric Farthings happened to be near and just finished that sentence and then went back to what he was doing. Like just, whoa, he was paying attention. What?
I would point out that I've kept it together while on this planet.
Well, bully for you.
Well, I'm just saying.
No.
In times like this, you need people that you can look to and you can actually follow. I've been that person, and if anybody needs that right now, you can refer them to my example.
Okay. All right. Look, this is a great conversation. And I think we should probably pick it up at a later time. The rest of the military all looks to Orion, and he's just booked it. So yeah. I need to go.
That's what I meant when I said he was aloof.
Yeah. Well,
here over comms, all comms. It's gonna be Orion James come on and say, "Masters and Smith, you have first watch. Get to it."
I'm gonna go see what bee flew up his ass. So, because it might be literal. Considering how things go around here.
Good point.
I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Best of luck to you.
Scene.
Willis, what are you doing?
Yeah, Willis, you just...
I'm on first watch.
And who's that with Smith?
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to play Smith? Johnny?
Sure, I can play Smith.
If nobody wants to, I'll
channel
do it.
Channel
but...
Club.
Yeah, pretty much.
So we're first watch, so... What do you say you take first watch over here, and I'll take first watch in my tent? How's that sound to you?
How about I beat you with a tree, and you get back in line?
Don't worry, I was just joshing you.
So was I.
No, if you beat me at all, it will definitely be with a tree.
Jeff just rolled his eyes in the most sarcastic way possible. It was fantastic.
You take this side of the circle, I'll take that over there. Okay, we'll check every half hour. How's that sound?
Sounds like a good idea to me. Though, why we need to do separate spots when the camp is so small now, I don't really know.
Because enemy could attack from any direction.
And also, he doesn't want to be with you.
Says the little devil on your shoulder.
Fine, whatever.
Yeah, I might have to talk to the captain about assignments now. But we got our orders for first watch.
What does that mean?
You know what it means. But I think I'm just going to leave now and...
Oh, very funny. Very. Well, so
that's
funny.
That's your job, isn't it?
I might have to beat you with a tree.
I'm going to the other side of the circle. And he walks off to the other side of camp to stand his watch.
I think Smith thinks Willis is a shady character.
It never kinda has to. It kind of has to.
I just always feel so left out. You guys have put me in my place. Thank you.
Well, at least you've put down roots there.
Oh, yeah.
Since you're so bad at the puns, for us to keep jabbing you is a fitting punishment.
Yeah. Oh. Next time I'm going to throw the bowl at you. Maybe the mug.
Go ahead and roll for your healing check.
What am I rolling?
Dice. Might.
Might. Gotcha.
You don't need to subtract dice away from a healing check, I've decided.
That's good.
2d plus 2, so 8, 9, 10.
Good for you. You get to go up a level. In healing. Yep.
Power up.
Considering.
Yay, I'm only stunned now. Does that mean
that
like
means
normal?
By morning, you'll be normal.
Yeah.
You might still be addicted to drugs.
Oh, yeah, that's.
Oh, she turned into House.
You might. Yeah. Lady House. Oh, no. Thorny personality?
Yeah. Yep.
Sorry.
Drug problem?
I've cursed you. I'm sorry.
Question for the GM.
Question for the GM.
At nighttime, is everyone just sleeping, or is...
Oh, no.
Is Burntail up, I would assume?
Burntail doesn't... She seems to have gone into shock.
Is she just kind of sitting? I assume she's not sleeping as much.
No, she's not. Okay. She's not really sleeping, unless she's fallen asleep, like, shock sleep. You know how some people just shut down?
No.
They get super exhausted from the stress of emotions, and they just... pass out.
Like, one of the signs of clinical depression is actually increased amount of sleep.
Okay, yeah.
You know, so that could be something that she's actually doing, is just, like, shutting off the world by rolling into a little feline ball and just falling asleep in a cardboard box.
Is it dark now?
Yeah, we've kind of reached twilight.
Is there, like, a campfire in the center? We're gathered around it?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, Miranda, in the midst of her... just generally being drugged. It's going to look over. I'm assuming that she and Burntail are near each other, theoretically.
They're sitting across from each other at the fire.
Okay, and Miranda has been sitting still for quite some time and is getting a little bored and is still well drugged. So she gets this bright idea, looks over at the cat person over there and notices that her tail is seeping from just constant burning.
You mean like pus is just kind of...
Ew.
Yeah, well, it looks like it might be infected in some areas and just generally, like, raw. So she's going to get up, grab her med kit, and just go over and start fixing Burntail's tail.
Put a bandage on Burntail.
Don't do something about it. Her name's going to change to Pus Tail.
I'm just trying to... Let me go ahead and take a quick look at what this could fall under.
What do you mean?
What's your diplomacy like?
I've got 4D in charm.
Yeah, she might not understand bad. That.
Well, she's asleep.
Well, she's kind of in shock. Like, she's just kind of... I picture her...
half sleep, half wake.
Staring into the fire.
Well, like, Miranda can see that she's upset, like, based on how she was acting. She knows the signs of shock.
Right.
So, you know, like, she doesn't know why she was upset. Nobody's really shared that with her, but she figures something to do with, you know, her hometown getting burned down. I mean, that's got to be shocking. And Miranda's worked in, like, you know, an ER where people are going through a lot of stress and shock and so on and so forth.
Sure.
So she's basically just trying to be comforting. So she's going to walk over to Burntail, you know, like, talking soothingly, you know, pat her on the arm or whatever to let her know she's there. And then she's going to, like, start working on the tail. This is her little, like, sign of, okay, well, I guess I'll make friends now.
Okay.
Because she hasn't really interacted with any of the Nine Tails at this point yet.
Okay, yeah. We'll go ahead and let that go. Burntail doesn't really respond.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect her to.
Because she doesn't, she's, like, not
right,
in the world.
Yeah, she's
right
blocking
now.
The world out. Yeah. So this is just sort of Miranda's little, okay, I'm going to make sure you're all right, and then... She goes back and sits by the fire again.
Does anybody notice this actually going on?
I do not.
Should we do a roll to see?
Yeah,
if
I would go ahead and
notices?
Do a roll to go ahead and do that.
Masters and Orion are not there.
Right. Well, when how long is Masters on his shift?
4 hours.
So he pretty much went on shift pretty much like right when...
After Tinsrasel.
Right as soon as they were packing things, getting things in the center and everything. So he's been on shift for a while now.
Oh, it's been...
It's been a little while. Because I was thinking that like the moving stuff into the thing, setting up tents and everything, that all was taking until about twilight.
Okay. But then they went on patrol after.
Okay.
He's been maybe an hour.
Okay. So
I would assume.
So Masters is not there. Farthings is there.
Well, I can tell you what I was going to say. Bring up next was I was actually going to be heading over to Masters.
Okay.
So yeah, maybe walk past it. I got a loving.
Go ahead and make a diplomacy roll or a charm roll just to give us a basis off of what to base this off of, like how successful your actions are.
Successful enough.
Okay.
15.
15. You got an 11.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really notice.
What am I rolling? Sorry.
To notice, like a perception roll, that'd be a wit.
Witty.
You're a fairly witty guy, so.
You're witty.
I knew I was gonna go there. As well. 12.
You got a 15?
Yes.
You got a 15?
Yes.
Okay. No. No, you don't really notice this, but you're kind of... I have a feeling that you might be going somewhere else.
Like to a latrine?
Yeah. Yeah. Or you might be doing your own recon of the area because you don't really trust the military.
No, trust anyone.
Well, and I kind of imagined that this was a case where, like, Miranda was just sitting there because nothing was happening. She was bored and she noticed Burntail over there. And
she was
like,
really high.
Hmm. Yeah.
I'm high enough to go near a giant cat. Let's do this.
Yeah. Well, like I said, while that's going on, Farthing is going to head over to Masters.
Okay.
Do I pick anything up when I touch her?
Like a disease?
Very bad case of allergies.
No, I was like, any like thoughts or anything. That's not...
She's in complete shock.
Okay, good.
She has to touch you.
Well, not
you.
Good, but you know.
No.
And also, she has to be physically... She actually, like,
she
has to be
herself,
in pain when she's trying to communicate with you. Mm.
She's in emotional pain, though.
She's in
yeah,
emotional
man.
Pain. No.
Physical pain.
It's a physical reaction.
She... But if she's, like, leaking pus, she might get to a state where she's constantly in pain.
Her nerve endings are so destroyed there.
She has to keep burning further and further. Okay.
Yeah, like, her tail is actually progressively shorter than it actually should be. Because she's
gonna become a bobcat.
We said before how her short tail is a foot shorter than everybody else's.
Or a minx.
So, alright, so, go up to Masters. Sergeant, right?
Yes, sir.
So, I'm highly intrigued by your transformation.
You gonna start mocking me too?
I actually want to run some experiments with you, if you're willing, to see what exactly has happened.
Only if you're willing to go on watch with me.
Oh, I don't mean right this minute. I have to go talk to what's her name? Winters. I need to go talk to Winters after this. But if you could stop by and see me, and we could start doing experiments with you, that'll be excellent. Cause I'd like to see exactly how far your transformation goes. And like, and have you tried like morphing your body yet, or anything like that?
I don't really know if I can do that.
I think this would. I think that you could accomplish quite a few things if my hypothesis is correct. While you're standing on watch, why don't you do me a favor and try one little experiment? See if you can grow some thorns. Because I was just thinking, you know, in the case of like the dinosaur attack, if something like that attacked us and you had thorns and it bit you, that would serve you as a protection.
Hmm. Thorn punch.
Oh. Yeah, thorn punch to the face. Huh.
Be like Wolverine.
So while you're standing watch, before you come see me, if you could just work on that, see if you can alter your body image a little bit.
thanks.
Okay, so you'll come by and see me later?
Sure.
Excellent. Tonight I'll just take some blood samples and see how far you get with the thorn growing.
Oh, okay.
Excellent. Alright, I think I'm going to go see, what was her name? Winters, yes.
Alright, she might be asleep right now. Her watch is next, so...
Well, I was supposed to be working with her on creating some more weapons and such, so...
Alright. Be safe. Have a good evening.
You too. Yes. Now, where was she again? Okay, over there. Yes.
There's only one camp.
Sorry, it takes me a moment to remember some faces sometimes.
Got it.
I'll see you later, then. Thank you. And I walk away.
So, Orion, where are you?
I was going
to try. You were going to try to punch him?
No, the growth.
Oh,
the growth thing.
To alter his body.
With a 11. To grow thorns.
Yeah, so...
You grew a nut.
Aww. So it takes a lot of effort, but you get, like... You get a couple of, like, spines that start running down your wrist. And it's not, like, gigantic spine. It
just looks like a bracelet.
No, it's yeah. Like... Aww. It's like...
It's like ringworm.
You know, like a shark's back fin? Like a dorsal fin?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a... Like one, a couple of those, like a little serrated line going down.
Got gauntlets going on, buddy.
But there, it's only like half a millimeter. It's not large enough to be a effective method of defense.
Well, I test it. It's a little bit sharp. It's kind of weird. I don't know. All right, I'm done. I just wanted to try.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you'll have more opportunities to try later on this evening. Orion, where are you located?
I'm assuming it's probably going to be maybe about 2 hours into the first watch. Orion is going to just come back into to view of the rest of the camp. He's not going to sit around the fire where everybody else is. He's just going to stay probably maybe about 20, 30 yards off, find a tree stump or something. He's just going to sit there.
Oh, sorry, Willis.
Lesai.
The evening is young, the trees are beautiful, the moon is full, and there is a burnt camp over there.
So.
Now, were you watching the camp when Miranda got up and did the thing? Do you need to...
He wouldn't have been able to.
No.
He's, like, way far away.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's just sitting there by himself. Sort of not facing the fire, it's sort of in his peripheral.
Yeah. So, you hear someone come up behind you and clear their throat. So, how was the nature hike?
What are you referring to?
Well, you seem to want to have a little alone time, so... Did you enjoy your walk around?
Well, there was no enjoying anything, and there was no walking around. Do you have a point? Do you need something, Captain James?
Well, I was just a little concerned for you, because you took off in quite a hurry.
Do you need anything in particular?
Yes.
What is it?
I need you.
Whoa.
You need to be the leader that your military troops need you to be. And you're just sitting here in the woods, moping, because your plan isn't coming together like you thought it was going to.
Calm down a second. We got all the gear stowed in the center of this camp. I laid out who's going to be on first watch. Which means the second watch has the shift off.
Yes, but it's not just about them. The point of a leader is to lead people and to also be in a capacity to lead. It's a two-way street, and you're cutting yourself off from the rest of the group.
I'm cutting myself off from the rest of the group.
Yes.
I beg to differ. Okay, let me stop you right here.
Stop me, because, like, all our lives you've tried to stop me.
Listen very carefully. I'm going to ask you one question. I only want the answer to that question and nothing else.
I will answer any question you want as honestly as I can.
Let me finish my statement to completion.
Go ahead.
Opens up his hand. He's got a set of dog tags in his palm. Looks at it. Corporal Andrew James McKinley. General McKinley. You may remember that name.
Yeah.
I met Corporal McKinley's father before the mission and said I would keep an eye on his son, his only son. You know the McKinleys have an extensive military history.
As does your family, yes.
I promised General McKinley that I would do everything in my power to be sure that if anything were to happen, McKinley would be honored. Holds up the dog tag in front of Aurora's face and says, where's the honor for your team? Where is the token that you're going to take back to their families to let them know that you did everything under your power to be sure that they were doing their jobs, and if they fell,
they fell as Marines. Their life meant something. Their life meant that they had purpose, that they fulfilled their purpose. That is my one question. Where is your honor?
Do you want to see where my honor is?
Where is your honor?
Do you want to see it?
You better answer the question.
Okay, fine. Captain. She goes in, like, she had been wearing underneath all of her Nine Tails regalia. She had been wearing military fatigue, combat suit, shirt that had been ripped up and torn and everything like that, but was still mostly intact. She unbuttons it and she pulls off her shirt, and there are the names of all of her soldiers tattooed along her side. And right above her heart is one that says, Baby James. Thanks very much for listening to this episode of Bone Throwers Theater.
Thank you for listening to Bone Throwers Theater. The cast is Carlin, Jeff, Jeremy, Johnny, Jordan, and Stephanie. This podcast is released under our Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 Unported license. Please feel free to share the podcast, but please do not modify it or attempt to gain financially from it. To find the show online, visit our site, bonethrowerstheater.com. Our Twitter feed is at Bone Throwers Theater, and our email address is bonethrowerstheater@gmail.com. Join our social networks on Facebook and Google+. Podcast art was designed by Laura Tress and is used with her permission. Until next time, may the bones fall in your favor. This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.